What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Today, Parler sues Amazon after being suspended from their web hosting service. Also, is President Trump getting impeached again, even though he is about to leave office? It's a Monday for you, ladies and gentlemen. Buckle up. It's going to be a big ride. A little bit bumpy, and it starts right now. Welcome to the news and why it matters. Happy Monday. I am Sarah Gonzalez. Today joined by the one and only Eric July. Eric July, Blaze TV contributor, who I guess is he's repping Ron Paul.
Yeah, they locked my man's out of Facebook today, so I'm representing OG Ron Paul today.
Well, we've got an opportunity to get into that. Absolutely. Because we are talking all things the purge going on social media. Also joined by my good friend Kezia Schaefer. Kezia Schaefer, host of Crocs On podcast, YouTube. Oh. Are you still on YouTube?
Yes.
Or have you gotten banned yet?
I'm still on.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, for now.
I'm pulling a race card if they get me.
Oh.
that's so
smart.
Good. Lucky. I'm pulling Farna card.
Woman card too. Yeah, there you go.
You got a couple up your sleeve if you need to use them.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? I might be a man, so we'll see. You had a gift first.
All right. So speaking of the conservative purge going on, it just seems like one thing after the other. Over the weekend, Parler actually got suspended. So what happened was their service was suspended by Amazon. Now, Amazon has a web hosting service, and Amazon decided to take Parler off of their web hosting service for violating their terms of service by failing to effectively deal with a steady increase in violent content. This is, of course, what Amazon said. So they said Parler presents a, quote, very real risk to public safety. And they said, we're hosting your services no more. We're taking you offline. So Parler has now sued Amazon. They filed a lawsuit against Amazon claiming that Amazon's suspension of Parler violated antitrust laws and breached the contract between the two entities. Now, they went dark earlier this morning, and their CEO said that the site would try to get back online as quickly as possible. But they said that they could be down for as long as a week. So we will see. Now, this is, of course, after who else has been censored? I know, y'all, I just sat there and watched my Twitter account just go. I mean, in real time, it was nuts.
Yeah.
Nuts. And then so now you're saying
Ron Paul today, for no reason, had no strikes or anything like that. He was locked out of his Facebook this morning.
For no reason.
For no reason. No reason.
I mean, I'm sure that they have a reason.
Yeah, well, violating really community standards.
Right,
of course,
right, which is whatever they want.
Yeah,
those
they can pull that car whenever they want. I will say this, and this is the direction that I've been telling people, be a conservative or not, that should be the approach when it comes to combating what we're seeing right now in regards to like big tech. Look, they have contractual obligations. They need to be held to those, mm-hmm. right? So if they breach the contract for whatever reason, that's the fight. That's why you've never heard me lead with this free speech or 230. That right there, to me, is the approach, or at least the mindset. Not necessarily dealing with it in courts, but the whole idea is that you are breaking a contract with us, be it in the term of service or directly right there with Amazon Web Services. And they're going to only keep them down for so long. This is why I'm a little more optimistic. We got technology is forever advancing. You see what they tried to do these other sites, the Gabs of the world, which still was able to get around all of that, get their own servers, and now they're still existing, and people are like, how do we get them down? It's only so much that you can do. But what I want people to more so pay attention to out of this whole entire story is how the wording in which they say that, okay, you were inciting violence. We have had this amount of stuff happening, or we see this.
A real risk to public safety.
Right. Okay. Let's backtrack. I'm pretty sure you have, and I know I have, gotten all kinds of ugly things said to us about people who still exist on that platform. All kinds of things that violate their services, videos and what have you, term of service, excuse me, are all there. But hilariously enough, Did we just fall asleep for the last 5 months as we know that these groups went and burned down entire blocks, cities looted, everything out of there? We know, objectively speaking, again, America, this isn't my opinion. More people from the post-George Floyd violence died from that. More damage was done to both federal, your beloved cathedrals that you guys care so much about. Those were damaged. Far more of that was damaged. And you look at the fact that you got $2 billion or plus worth of damage being done to people's businesses and what have you. More violence, more assault. Yet they allowed all of that to go together. And instead of the groups coming together and saying, okay, this is a problem, as blue check marks, Democrats, economic, academic elites sit here and authorize that bad behavior, they excused it and they justified it. It was never, ever a call for them to be taken completely off of the platform. And this is why I'm trying to tell conservatives, guys, libertarians as well, you are playing a rigged game. They're not fighting fair. They're Eddie Guerrero tactics, low blows when you're not looking, loaded gloves, buying off the ref, buying off the judges. Why y'all trying to fight these guys straight up? I have absolutely no idea, because they have no desire to do that. They know the game is rigged. They know that basically an extension of them, this leftist sort of authoritarianism, is these economic tech elites. They know that, and they have no desire to play fair. So tread carefully.
Kezia, to Eric's very well-stated point, Parler says this in their lawsuit. Amazon just last month just inked a deal with Twitter to host their web services. You see what goes on Twitter. I know Antifa, I mean, they plan all of their stuff on there.
The amount of violence I've seen on this site is amazing. When we see people getting beat up, dropped, I'm talking, and that all those videos are still live. I went and looked the other day, they're still live and nothing has happened.
Well, you had Hang Mike Pence trending on Twitter. No plans have been announced. Coincidentally enough, no plans have been announced by Amazon to take Twitter off of their web hosting service.
It's funny, because if there's their whole reason of taking away Parler is because it's inciting too much violence, like you guys just said, it's a joke that there is so much violence. I've seen it. I've seen meme pages posting, like, you're just like scrolling through and you're like, oh shoot, like what? Oh, I don't want to see that.
Well, and I'm sure you get violence directed at you for being the wife of someone.
Yes, people always
you don't even do anything.
People find me on all my social medias. Yeah. I'm like, you went through the effort to find me to send me some nasty message about me dying and whatnot. It's like, okay. Sorry, but
Your life sucks.
Yeah, it's crazy. But also with like Twitter and all these people going, no, we don't silence conservatives. No, we're not purging conservatives. Absolutely not. And then as soon as Trump joins Parler, whoa, there's no place for you guys. We're going to delete all of you off every social media platform. There is no place for you. And if you start your own platform, sorry, we're going to take that away too. So tell me again that you're not targeting conservatives.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I mean, and I think that is really the axe to grind that so many people have is, mm-hmm, if you have these terms of service and you want to abide by them, then abide by them. But you have to be objective about it, and you have to be consistent.
Absolutely.
Both sides of the aisle have to see this happening. Unfortunately, that's not really the way that it's panned out.
They only see what it is that they want. I even trying to shake the shoulders of my fellow libertarians who, for whatever reason, think both sides are the exact same and this is like an equal playing field. Mm-hmm. No, it's not. You're going to be on the wall, up on the wall too, when it's all said and done. Mm-hmm. They are pointing at all of you guys that don't pledge allegiance to their cause. You cannot sit up here and look at this objectively and sit up here and say that there's no inherent bias, mm-hmm, in how these rules are certainly enforced. I don't care what side of the aisle that you on. We're not even that far removed from what just happened again with the post George Floyd protest. None of them are taken down. Their tweets are still up when they were authorizing all of this. Well, sometimes these things need to be violent. They were all these blue check marks, the AOCs of the world. Oh, it makes you uncomfortable. They got to say all of that, and there, mm-hmm, was never a claim
even
that they were inciting violence.
Punch it. I wish I could punch a president. I wish I could.
Oh, assassinate him.
Yes.
Assassinate him.
Yeah, Madonna. Yeah, Madonna got on stage.
Blowing up the White House.
I would like to see what they're saying now.
Yeah, most definitely. But that's
whatever the hell they want. Still, whatever the hell they want with no repercussions. With absolutely no repercussions. Yeah. It is frustrating. There has been a report that has emerged today that President Trump is planning to fight this big tech censorship of conservatives during his final days in office. What that looks like, they have not yet said. I know that the president was looking for, you know, he had executed an executive order for the Section 230, and Ajit Pai, the FCC commissioner, had said, oh, we can't really do any of this because he's about to leave office and we don't really have the time to make sure to follow through on this executive order. So we're just going to go ahead and disregard it. So really, there's not really been a play that has been that has come to light. Eric, what do you think that what is the answer? Because I go back and forth on this. I'm sure coming from you, the libertarian, you don't want, I mean, it's tough to say like, yeah, we really want government to get involved and put a stop to it. Because anytime government gets involved, you know what happens.
It's going to get way worse in the event. Look, the only answer is that what you're seeing right now is that people are coming up with a lot of alternatives. And now people are fleeing. We saw again, Gab, they long said they had more new users than they like this past 3 days than they had ever had like over the course of their first 2 years. Like, this is a real thing. Like, there is going to be an alternative tech revolution. I know a lot of people are short-sighted because we see all of that. Specifically when it pertains to Twitter, because of their lack of monetization, they are the one big tech group that can become obsolete like tomorrow. Like, they really can, believe it or not. Like, now again, it's gonna be harder to dethrone the Facebooks and the Googles of the world. But Twitter can absolutely get the hell up out of there. And I think we need to let that play out. I've been trying to get in the ear of Elon Musk to try to see if I can get him to just, cause he's the one, like, well, first of all, he's richer than all of them now. And he's the one guy that doesn't seem to drink as much of the Kool-Aid as all of them. So you can imagine that all he would have to do is come up with a better alternative, and people will just flee. You're seeing even right now, don't be so pessimistic. You're seeing even right now the shares when it comes to these companies, they're tanking. Yes. They're going down right now. Like, we can be short-sighted. I understand the frustration. I say, let it play out. Yes, it's going to force a lot of people to have to make adjustments. They're going to have to try to go around. They're going to have to purchase their own servers. I understand all of that. But let it play out, America. The worst possible case scenario is the government getting involved. And I'm seeing these loser guys like, you know, claiming that the GOP should talk about nationalizing Twitter and Facebook. I'm like, no, that's not the answer.
Do you think that these platforms should still have the Section 230 protections that have been afforded to them?
To be honest, I'm not worried about that. I don't want people to go after them. That's why you never heard me on the show talk about the whole publisher versus care for that. To me, that's not even where the argument needs to be. Okay. Let them fail. Let them, if they want to go into the ground, you see they don't want to stare, but you're also seeing a lot of creative alternatives be created. Now, we know with Parler, because that was the one that was shooting up, they did everything they can, but to their credit, they're like, okay, we're going to try to find our ways around them. They threw everything they could at, I'm not saying go to Gab, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that's an example of they threw everything they could at them and they still came out and they persevered. So we got blockchain technology, all these sorts of things. So there are ways. So let them fail. So I don't know what Trump is talking about. Preferably it would be, okay, I'm going to try to use my money to create these alternatives when I get the hell up out of office. That to me would be the better case scenario than trying to utilize the government to like nationalize it or something like that. That's not what we want. That's not what we want.
That's actually such a good point, because I think, isn't like everyone quitting, resigning from Donald Trump, saying like no one's on Trump's side anymore? I don't think he has any power or authority. That's a really interesting point. I like what you said. Yeah.
So would you support President Trump leaving office and immediately creating
whatever Trump does after this? I am waiting to see.
Yes, it will. All right. We've got more to come. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Candid. Maybe you are like me, okay, and you used to have braces, and I had the headgear, I had the whole thing. What a nerd. I wore a headgear at night. But I stopped wearing my retainer, and then my teeth shifted, and I was unhappy with my smile. Well, you don't have to be like that, okay? There are thousands of people now who have used Candid, including myself. It's clear, it's comfortable, removable, and practically invisible. There are aligners to help straighten your teeth. And just like me, they love their smile now. So what Candid does is you take a bunch of pictures of your teeth, all right? They send you a kit, you do the impressions. It's very, very easy. You send it back to them. You have a licensed orthodontist who reviews everything. They send you, that for me, they sent me 12 aligners. They sent me the whole box, 12 aligners, and each step was labeled very carefully. So you get them, you wear for a couple weeks, you wear the next one, and it transitions your teeth where they need to be. It's super easy. And again, you don't have to deal with braces, because who as an adult wants to be like, oh, I need braces again? No one wants that. And as an added bonus, Candid is way cheaper than even going to your local orthodontist and getting braces. By the way, the average Candid treatment is only 6 months, and you're going to start seeing results way before then. All right. Become your best you. Start straightening your teeth today. Right now, you can save $75 on their starter kit. All you have to do is go to candidco.com/Y. Use code Y. That is W-H-Y for you podcast listeners. That's not the letter Y. All right. W-H-Y. That is candidco.com/Y. It is $75 off of your starter kit. Start the new year with straighter teeth. candidco.com/Y. Promo code Y. Back in a minute. Before we move on, I do, since we have, I hate to like call you his wife because you're so much more than that.
Oh,
but
stop, Sarah.
Kezia Schaefer, host of Crocs On podcast, right, but also happens to be married to
Elijah Schaefer. It's a full-time job. Being Elijah's wife is a full-time job.
I can't even imagine.
And if you need to say that, that's my job, let it be.
You need to get paid for it, probably a lot more than you're getting paid now for it.
I need like medical bills for like anxiety and trauma.
Right. So we talked on the show on Friday about Elijah being what he was demonetized.
Yeah.
He was banned from, so what was he was banned from Instagram?
It wasn't even like, he has his like slightly offensive Instagram, which has tons of followers, and then he has his personal one.
It's Elijah Schaefer.
His personal one was banned and deleted. He was suspended.
Which is so like, stupid.
That's like, fine, if you're going to take one of them, take it.
Right, right.
And also off his personal Facebook account, which is so, so bizarre. But it didn't last very long because obviously the Blaze was like,
on it.
How does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then they gave it back. But apparently it was just a lot of people, everyone's messaging the FBI, arrest Elijah, and telling and emailing YouTube and all these things. Like, he incited violence, and they're all saying that he started the siege or something like that, which
is incredible.
An unarmed siege makes all the sense.
Yes, it is.
Right.
So
for the party that has the guns.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it makes all the sense in the world. That's it was a siege.
Yeah. So apparently Elijah's been doing a lot more than we realized. So everyone's just been bombarding all these websites and things to try and get him banned, and everyone's obviously been writing hit pieces about him, and he's terrible. I've been getting a lot of lovely supporting messages from
the
people.
Left is so, they're so warm and
they're so nice.
Yeah. It's all about, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, but for now, he is back on.
Yeah, so it got back. Well, you can't take it away because of like a made up lie.
Right.
So he is back on for now.
For now.
But it's only a matter of time.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
So they get all of us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for everybody.
So House Democrats, moving on, House Democrats have formally introduced an article of impeachment against President Trump. I feel like we're living in Groundhog's Day, and it's just over and over again. Impeach, impeach, impeach. This time for inciting violence against the government because he incited a mob. This is what they say. Incited a mob of his supporters to launch an attack on the U.S. Capitol over, of course, his rally where he maintained that there were fraudulent election results, which I will say, I mean, where there's smoke, there's fire, right? There was a lot of crazy stuff going on. Just gonna say that. Think he probably has a right to say, hey guys, there was a lot of crazy, slimy stuff going on, coincidentally, in all of the battleground states that I was winning before they stopped counting overnight. All of a sudden, oh my gosh, Joe Biden's winning. Look at that. Huh, nothing to see here, YouTube. Don't take this episode down. So now, House Democrats, they want him to pay for inciting violence against the government. Eric.
This is
I think we're gonna make Eric's head explode.
Yeah, because you know, I know. Yeah, I know a lot of people that watch the show. You know, if you're not familiar with me, I am an anarcho-capitalist. So, I have to go full anarchist here.
Here we go.
to sit here and dramatize these events, you see how quickly they are willing to move on whatever it is that they want to do. Any event that they feel like, this is why we call it a cathedral, they feel like it's them that comes under attack. Then it's like they become so like efficient and they want to get out there and try to get things done. That's how they operate. Now, my thing about that is, America, they sat and watched your, and I hate to just be consistently bringing this up, but I have to. They watched your businesses be burned to the ground, and they authorized it and they justified it. The minute someone kicked their feet up on Nancy Pelosi's desk, then the pearls got clutched.
Yeah.
And then they fainted on the couch and said, whoa, y'all, the peasants only supposed to attack each other. Y'all can't us.
We're the elites.
Yes, y'all can't come do this to us. Never mind what happened to, of course, 2 years ago and some change when the Women's March got to do exactly that and it was all good. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
What they are saying, and this is why I'm so in opposition to this and why I'm so pro decentralization here. I think America, look, I think the only way this ends, the most peaceful route to me is a divorce. But when it comes to this right here, they are saying explicitly when they do things like that it's okay for you to attack your neighbor. It's okay for you to blow up each other. But don't y'all dare come to us, because then there is a problem. Right. So now you really see what this is about. This ain't got nothing to do with all of that other unity, treason, all of that stuff only sounds good. It's that you took it to their cathedral. Mm-hmm. You actually took it to where it is that they are. I always have said that is one of the Capitol building houses criminals, okay? It's period. I know it sounds blunt putting it like that, but that is the house of the largest criminal organization that exists right now.
Honestly, the first time you said it, I was like, oh, you're right.
They do very bad things. They do very bad things. They sign off for your kids to get blown up to war. They blow up other people. Then they take your tax money and then they do whatever it is that they want. It is a large criminal organization, and I've long stopped pretending as if it was anything but that. But the biggest frustration I would think America would have is just how swiftly they're willing to move on stuff when it's them, when it's their tails on, when they feel as if on the line. But they sat and watched y'all's businesses, and people get attacked, people get killed, actually get killed out of all of this. We're not even that far removed from that. Mm-hmm. That was only 5 months. Well, I mean, it wasn't just one instant. That kind of went over the course of multiple months. But you saw that.
And still, they did nothing.
Yeah, they still did nothing.
I think they encouraged it a lot of what they were saying
exactly
as well.
Did.
Yeah, fight the police, fight this, that, and the other. So
we have the incoming vice president who encouraged and said they are not going to stop fighting and they should not stop fighting.
Yeah. Yep.
So they can go at you all day long. They can go at you all day long, but you took it to their cathedral. Mm-hmm. That's when it became a problem.
Right.
So that's why I'm so pro. Look, me personally, when it comes to this little experiment, this growth of this tumor of this federal government, the reason why I'm so pro decentralization, because I don't think it could be resolved at this point. At this point, I do believe there's no issue of, we get the right people and all that can't happen. You're seeing how corrupt it is from top to bottom. So how about we just pull the plug on it in its entirety, or pull the rug from under them? I'd rather them be out on the streets and forced to get a real job as opposed to, I don't know what we're doing now and having to rely on them to try to rule over 327 million some people.
Right. Impeachment, again, Kez, reaction.
Well, this is the thing. I wasn't there. I wasn't at the event, but I'm yet to hear anybody say one line of Donald Trump's speech that supposedly told people
it doesn't exist as well.
But it was what he meant.
But also,
when he said peaceful, he meant go and cause chaos.
It was
chaos
a dog whistle. But also, Elijah, who was on the ground, he said to me, while Donald Trump was speaking, they left like 20 minutes before he finished speaking, and people had already started attacking the house. Mm-hmm. So Donald Trump, when it all started kicking off, he was still giving speech of apparently violence and whatnot. So none of it makes sense. And also, I don't know if we're going to talk about this or not, but how come there was only like 50 police officers guarding every single person in government?
Yeah, I mean, I think if we've learned one thing from this, which, you know, God bless the families of those who have lost their lives. I know there was two police officers now that we know of.
Yeah, I think.
But it has exposed really, really, really big vulnerabilities in the Capitol Police, how they operate, what, you know, I mean, because imagine that this, that there were some foreign, you know, bad operators who came with weapons.
Yes.
Everyone in that facility would probably be toast.
And mind you, they had weeks to prepare. Donald Trump said a long time ago, hey, everybody, January 6th, come to D.C. I'm giving a speech. And even leading
although they
up,
shouldn't have believed, though, that Donald Trump supporters would do that, right?
Because just a couple weeks earlier, there was another big march in D.C. with a whole bunch of Trump supporters.
And it everyone was so, peaceful.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's still like, why... why, even if they were, if even if it is like the most peaceful protest, but you know that people are angry about something, why would you not even prepare? You've known this for weeks, and that's all you've got. And like you said, what if there was somebody from another country or whatever who had bad intentions? How easy would it have been to go in and do anything they wanted?
Yeah,
go into Nancy Pelosi's office and access her computer. Wow. Right. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's insane to me. That's like, that's insane that everyone in the government except the president was there and you had 50 police officers?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know.
Exposing vulnerabilities. I know there have been a lot of resignations since that as well for the people who are supposed to be in charge of Capitol Police. We've got more coming up. You know, we're talking about all this coming from the left that we were talking about earlier, impeachment again. Coming up, the Biden team has announced their inauguration theme is America United. Oh, I have a feeling these two at the table will have a little bit to say about that. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Home Title Lock. Now, if you have not heard of home title theft, it's a really scary situation, and it's a good thing you've never heard of it, because if you have, it's probably happened to you, and you've just lost all of the equity in your home. So here's what happens. You've got all of these thieves, these hackers, who go online where they know that your home's title is kept. Everything's kept online now, right? Where they can hack into it. They find your home's title. They will forge your signature on a quitclaim deed that says that you sold your home to this hacker. And then they can do whatever they want. They can take out loans against your home until your equity is gone, which most times is your, it's your retirement nest egg, right? And then all of that is just gone in the blink of an eye. By the way, if you're not scared enough, you might be thinking, oh, well, I'm protected by probably my insurance plan or my bank. No, 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 no. You're not protected by insurance, your bank, or even common identity theft programs. Home Title Lock will protect you though, all right? And in the unlikely event that you become a victim of title theft while you are with Home Title Lock, they will spend up to $250,000 in legal fees to help restore your home's title. Yeah, it costs that much, all right? Here's what you need to do to make sure you are not already a victim of Home Title Lock. Go to HomeTitleLock.com after this program, HomeTitleLock.com, register your address. You will see if you're already a victim. You can use code RADIO for 30 free days of protection. I know this isn't a radio show. I don't know why it's code radio, but just use the code, all right? Radio at HomeTitleLock.com for those 30 free days of protection. HomeTitleLock.com. Back in a minute. Joe Biden's transition team has announced that the theme for their inauguration for Joe Biden will be America United, and will focus on Biden's efforts to forge a new national journey and a path to a brighter future. I know.
That is so sweet.
Isn't it? It sounds very genuine. Mm. Not at all disingenuous, because as we know, leading up to the inauguration, Joe Biden has been very, very unifying in his language, in what he has.
Well, totally actually, true, no one ever really knows what Joe Biden is talking about. So
that's fair.
We just have to interpret it as unifying language.
That's fair. Donald Trump incited violence when he said remain peaceful. Yes. Joe Biden is just subject to interpretation.
Yes.
Whatever he says, he might not mean. Eric, your thoughts.
Look, man, it's to see what's going on right now with the these people can't even tolerate folks on the same forms of social media as them. They can't even they can't even stomach it. They want you removed. They want you starved. They want you, they come for your jobs. They want everything. And then to sit here and talk as if they care about unity. No, it's better off they're just saying allegiance is what they want. They want to, they want to, your, they demand certainly your allegiance. None of this has anything to do with unity. I have absolutely no desire to be unified with people that want me dead anyway. Mm-hmm. But that's not on the table. That's not even in their rhetoric. That's not even in their language to try to unify people. That's not what it's about. So yeah. I accept that, though. I'm embracing that. I don't want to share government with you either.
Yeah.
Let's break this thing up. But unity coming from that clown. Mm-mm. Can't take
but
that serious.
When they talk about unity as well, they're never talking about like, hey, we want to reach out to everyone who loved Donald Trump. We want to hear your concerns. Like, what was it that you loved about him? What were things that he did? It's not about unifying the conservative part of America. It's just about pandering to all of the minorities, all of the, if you're black, if you're transgender, we just want
unify with you guys.
Get
on board with us.
Yeah.
Or get the hell out.
Yeah.
Is really what they
want
to say.
Our unity is here. You need to love all these people and accept them and help them in every way. And if you don't, then you're not part of unifying. And get out and hate, we hate you. So it's like, you're not unifying, you're making your own little club with half of America and you're calling it unity.
Right, well, what? Unity.
Yeah.
Unless you disagree.
Yes.
And screw you.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of all of this unity that Joe Biden is promising, Joe Biden also, I believe it was the same day, maybe a day later, that he announced that his theme was going to be unity. He also announced that their priorities, their administration's priorities for economic business relief, oh, it's just going to be based on race and gender. Watch.
Our focus will be on small businesses on Main Street that aren't wealthy and well-connected, that are facing real economic hardships through no fault of their own. Our priority will be Black, Latino, Asian, and Native American-owned small businesses, women-owned businesses, and finally, having equal access to resources needed to reopen and rebuild. But we're going to make a concerted effort to help small businesses in low-income communities, in big cities, small towns, rural communities that have faced systemic barriers to relief.
So Joe Biden acknowledges that these businesses that are hurting through no fault of their own.
Right.
But if you're white, you're screwed. White man.
Yeah.
Sorry. If you're a female, you might still get it. You will be prioritized if you are a female. But if you're a white man, you deserve it.
This is the time for every man who owns a business to just sign it over to his wife's name. And
no
then
kidding.
There we go.
No kidding.
Problem solved.
I mean, is it like... I watch this and I'm like, this is for all the talk that all of the left said about us having a racist president the last 4 years. This is blatant racism and they are putting it on a pedestal and saying, oh my gosh, it's so beautiful. I'm like, you just called this president racist for the last 4 years.
Right.
This is actual racism.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Most definitely. They can prioritize this actual legitimate, like by definition, racist policy into which they are going to exclude a certain type of person from all of these sort of reliefs. I just always find it hilarious to hear these guys talking about this as if government had absolutely nothing to do with why.
Right.
No matter what kind of business or what color or race that you were or gender. You weren't shut down because of the virus. You were shut down because of the government. So, yes, it's no fault of their own, but who's the fault? That's something that they absolutely never say, which is so frustrating to me when I hear them talk about this, is that they act like they had absolutely nothing to do about this. The only subsidy, the only thing that can happen is just to allow people to get back to work. They don't need you, but that's what they want. They want dependency. They want, and that's why they'll sit there and throw that out there. We're going to do this for you. We're going to do that. We're going to tell you how. Of course we're not going to tell you how. We're just going to say that that's the reason why we're doing it for. We're going to help all of these minority owned business, women owned business, Native Americans, all that. We're going to set you up. I'm going to tell you how we're going to set you up.
Yeah.
That's who we're going to prioritize. They're telling you exactly who they're signaling to right there. Mm-hmm. And this has nothing to do with actually solving the problem, which is the state came in and they made it illegal for people to operate. Mm-hmm. That's y'all's doing. That's that institution's doing.
Yeah.
And we need to stop pretending as if it's anything but that. They act like they have absolutely nothing to do with this situation. They'll even blame it on Donald Trump. And that's what's so frustrating to me. We even saw Cuomo today come out and say, well, we got to reopen, right?
Yeah.
And what he said is like, we got to as if he had nothing to do about it. It's like that, what show is that? Always Sunny in Philly with a guy where he's like, I play on both sides, so I always come out out on top. Yeah. And that's exactly what they want you to forget. It's like this is textbook gaslighting, man.
But it's silly if their whole thing is like pretending that the reason your business has failed was not because of them, but it was because of COVID and whatnot. Why not do it equally to everybody, right, to every single American who lost their business? Why are you only targeting Black women who lost business because of COVID? Like, if the reason is we're going to help you out because of COVID, but we're only going to help out Black women, mm-hmm, because of COVID.
What are the systemic barriers anyway? What is he talking about when he said they had these systemic barriers so they didn't allow them to get relief? And I'm sitting here like, what? Did y'all have something like only white people get this subsidy? Or what exactly are you talking about? Everything is rhetoric with these guys. They just use the same buzz terms over and over and over, and they want you to take that into consideration. They don't have to say anything. It doesn't even mean anything. All he was saying is just hot air.
Not untrue. Not untrue. We've got more coming up. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Built Bar. If you are one of probably millions of Americans who one of your New Year's resolutions was, okay, I need to eat healthier. Maybe I have some weight to lose. Maybe you just had a baby 3 months ago and your son came into the room and you were feeling good about your body. And then your son said, you're fatter than you used to be. Not that I know anyone that's happened to. You need Built Bar in your life, okay? Built Bar is a protein bar, but it is way healthier than probably your favorite protein bar. And as an added bonus, it doesn't taste like chalk like all of those do. They're low calorie, they're high protein, high fiber. If you're on keto, they're great for keto. I do it myself with keto. So if you're looking to lose weight or maintain, they are so good. If you love chocolate, you're gonna love Built Bar. They are covered in 100% real chocolate and they taste like a candy bar, honestly. I've got so many, my husband is gonna kill me if I order any more Built Bars to be sent to my house. So I think we've got candy cane brownie right now. We've got caramel brownie. We've got white chocolate cookies and cream. We've got a peanut butter. We've got way too many Built Bars in my house. We eat them every day. So if you are looking to lose weight and also eat healthier but delicious, you gotta try Built Bar, okay? I'm telling you, go to builtbar.com. Again, it's not Bill Bar, it's Built Bar. People in the comments one day were like, why are you talking about Bill Bar? No. I'm talking about a delicious protein bar that you can eat. Builtbar.com. Use promo code NEWS20, you'll get 20% off. They're already very reasonably priced, so you are getting a steal today. If you go to builtbar.com, promo code NEWS20 for 20% off. Back in a minute. You just mentioned Andrew Cuomo earlier, Eric. Andrew Cuomo, not only did he come out and say, golly, you know what? Being shut down is really hurting the economy. Maybe we should open back up. That's a really novel concept. He also is in hot water because he apparently had stuck to very rigid guidelines with the COVID vaccine that prioritized healthcare workers, residents and staff of nursing homes and group homes, so much so that medical providers were throwing unused vaccines in the trash can. That's how great government bureaucracy is. So they, of course, we know these vaccines had to be kept at very, very low temperatures. And whenever you started using one of the dose, you know, you can get several doses from the one vial, they had to throw it away after so many hours. So because we know, again, big bureaucracy, always very good, very efficient, they were actually throwing vaccines in the trash can. So Trump, miracle that he gets this vaccine. Say what you will about the vaccine, which, by the way, I think they belong in the trash can. Okay, that's where I would put it personally. But from the left, they said, oh, it would be a miracle if Trump even got this vaccine in time. There's no way he's going to get this vaccine in time. He gets the vaccine, and then now they're being forced to throw them in the trash can because the states can't figure out how to get these injections.
Oh, man, it's almost like that's applied to, I don't know, everything the state does, not just New York, every single state. And which I don't know why you think a handful of, I almost called them something else, a handful of people can somehow dictate how efficiently an entire geographical area, state, can administer something. It's almost as if they are designed to be inefficient. Like the libertarian at the table hadn't been screaming this for I don't know how long.
And
how
in the hell,
literally screaming. How in the hell can Cuomo, of all people, still be touted as this guy that somehow had a, we know that time and time again, under his leadership, if you want to call it that, they failed at Every single turn, most deaths. I mean, with a nursing home incident, and now we got this. And you
but he wrote a book on how to
handle
it. That's
right, and they prop him up. He also got a friggin' Emmy. What was it? Oscar, whatever it is, that international Emmy award for all the things that he was doing sitting in front of the TV. It's not like he was just doing that because he wanted to see himself or something like that. That had nothing to do with it. He just wanted to really get out there and just inform the people. I don't know how anybody can look at what's happened with this whole COVID thing and sit here and still advocate for bigger government, unless you're on crack.
Amen. Kez, you're not on crack, are you?
Certainly not. You would know if I was. No, I think the interesting thing about the vaccine is that it's not even about someone's individual choice for medical whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like a moral thing now. It's like, oh, if you get the vaccine, like, you know how everyone's criticizing the TikTok nurses because they're always just like working really hard. Yeah.
Overwhelmed.
Yes, they're overwhelmed. But I've been seeing some TikTok nurse videos where the nurses are like, vaccines are kind of scary, huh? Well, we decided that we love people, so we went and got the vaccine, and
it's a mask on steroids.
You're a nurse, and you're not even saying, hey, this is going to be really good for you because X, Y, and Z. It's because we love people.
They think way too highly of themselves.
Yeah, I'm not a kid. Don't speak to me like a kid. Second of all, this is a medical procedure that everyone should. I never got vaccines. My parents were always like, no, look at me. This is health.
Wait,
right here.
You're alive.
You guys.
Oh my God, it's a miracle.
Yes, I only got the vaccines that you have to be able to be in a country. And I'm fine. That should be my choice. That should be everyone's individual choice. It shouldn't be a moral decision whether I'm going to choose to vaccine or have any medical procedure done. That's my choice.
Well, it is interesting too, to Kez's point, Eric, because if the vaccines work, for you, then you would love yourself,
everybody
right?
Gets
it's
them.
Not. It doesn't matter about like we love people. Yeah. Like if you're getting the vaccine, it should be to protect you, not everyone else. I get the whole herd immunity theory.
Right.
I'm just saying the vaccine itself is supposed to protect you.
Yeah. So it shouldn't like if I didn't want it and you got it, it shouldn't even matter.
Yeah.
Right. Because that's just a risk that I'm assuming with also the other people who decided that they didn't want to get it. But that's why. Well, I keep calling it a cathedral, guys. This is why I am saying this. Like, these guys want you to worship them at the altar. Mm-hmm. Like, they have these. It's not you're seeing how compromised the medical community is. Yeah. But you also see these, I don't know, scientists and doctors, these academic elites who will sit here and say, well, it's coming from me, and therefore you must do, because I know what's best for you. And whatever government doctor, be it Fauci or whoever, they get up there and say whatever it is they want to say, and we're just supposed to listen, as if we don't have doctors of our own that we can kind of consult to and converse with to decide what's better for us. It just goes in line with everything else it is that they push for, in that they don't see you as an individual.
It's like euthanasia. Like, you can make the decision to kill yourself, but you can't make the decision to protect yourself from a virus?
Yeah, on how you'd like to do that. I know, insanity. Well, I like to say, where there is risk, there must always be choice. All right, we gotta go back in a minute.
Crazy people. Yeah.
Wow.
Friday's poll, do you want to go back to 2020? Which is saying a lot, because 2020 really sucked. But the beginning of 2021, I already want my refund back. I did not ask for this. 69.6% of you, almost 70% of you said no. You don't want to go back to 2020. You're hedging your bets on 2021. We'll see what happens with a Democrat-controlled both chambers, right? And then the presidency. Oh, man. I can't wait. Today's poll, do you have hope for 2021. I would love to see these results. You know what? I've kind of just resigned to the fact that like it's just going to really suck for several years, and I am just focusing on my family and, you know, local, right? Because I'd like to believe that the federal government is not going to affect us as much as your local government.
Shouldn't. And maybe if we abolish the damn thing, we could get to talking about that and people would pay more attention. Look, I'm dead serious. I'm not joking when I talk about this. And that's why I'm more optimistic, because a lot of folks, so I'll say yes to that.
Optimistic?
I am optimistic because a lot of folks are more open right now to the concept of decentralization.
Are you optimistic, Kez? Oh, shit. You guys know what just happened to her husband and her family. This is the wrong time for me to ask you that.
Not applicable.
Yeah. No answer is an answer.
Thanks for listening to the News and Why It Matters. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you'd like to watch the program, become a Blaze TV subscriber and start your free trial now at blazetv.com.